Sunny La.
Quay.
Why eat beats nak seal?
Tan She.
Tanek E. Negar Dakote.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Sangi Las, welcome to Words and Culture. I'm your host, Christy Lane Sinclair, classical grunge composer, and albeit in its infancy, language learner. I was lucky enough to have been offered the hosting gig for the Haida episodes 1-6. And welcome to episode 6. Here we are on the very last episode. I'm going to take this time for reflection, commemorating some of my favorite moments and paying respect to those who came before us. As I'm sitting here, about 3 months after the interview has been recorded, I think about how far I've come. When I was talking to all my amazing guests about the Haida language, or Haadkil, it was a lot about questions that I have specifically to my journey and my experience. Since they have started airing, I am so excited from the listeners' response. The appreciation to have these stories breathing air in the world, the laughter, and the lessons learned. A few months ago, I talked about moving home. I moved home overlooking the very sunset that I was in awe of the first time I came home as an adult to Haida Gwaii. I dreamt of making a resource for the nation to record anything, anytime we want. Just a couple of days ago, I finished wiring the studio. But I have to wonder if it would have happened without this.
First thing is to get involved. Get involved with your community. Look for resources. You know, like resources don't just come to you. You have to look for them. You have to seek them out. Here in Old Mass, we have Haadkil Ne, and they can arrange courses for people to take on Zoom and live classes. And then there's presentations. There's dinners, presentations. So you got to get in the loop, really, of all the different events that are going on. Usually there's annual gatherings of people to bring everybody together, you know, either here in Old Mass at Auklige or also Llagilda, Skidigit, and also in Alaska. You know, there's First Peoples Cultural Council where there's different online resources that could be accessed. I know for the Skidigit Haida language, there's a language app on there. Of course, you know, the Skidigit Haida is a dialect, just like the Masset or the Auklige dialect, Haadkil, is we have our own dialect. They have the same root words, but there's different prefixes and the suffixes. You know, and some of the words are different, but, you know, much of it's the same. You know, it's the same language. And just like the Kays Hadi Kil, which is the Alaskan Haida dialect. And, you know, we have, of course, some of our last elders in Alaska that actually speak the Auklige Haadkil. But, you know, the elders can speak amongst each other also. But, yeah, it's really, it's up to the younger generation to step forward and to step up. It's really good to see that because there is younger people doing that. And I think we have to think about taking it to a level of excellence, really. Just like the art, you know, it's like a friendly competition. We have to think about it that way. You know, we're all on each other's side. But at the same time, it's good to have that push, that drive to excel, really. And you see, it's not only about the marks, though. It's not about, you know, the accolades, you know, it's about what you want for yourself, really, you know, for your own pride and your own, like, our people, you know, would strive for perfection, I guess. And I think that's something that we have to remind ourselves to do once in a while, is to strive for that perfection and never give up. Yeah.
I got one story that I got from watching.
All right.
It'll just take 5 minutes.
Lovely.
So,
no.
After he got home from Lyle Island, I started getting sentences in Haida. Pretty soon, I started getting legends. Then I started getting creation, raven stories. And we take them out. Del had a 28-foot boat cruiser that we could sleep and eat. We had a fridge and a stove and bunks, and he could come. We had toilets. And every time we went to the West Coast, we took him. Del never once said no, even though we had to pack him on and off the little skiffs, even if he had to. He always wanted to fish, and Del would just let the line out and say, you know, don't let it go too far, Watson. He wouldn't do everything for him, but he mostly did one. And then pretty soon you'd hear him call Del, and I'd look down, and he was like under 5 feet, I think. And there's his little head poking out of miles of line. All Del would untangle it, put it back down, not 5 minutes later. And then we started hearing him singing Haida songs. So from nothing, he got his self-esteem fighting for his land. And I thought, what are the chances of... He died at 102. What are the chances of him getting it back? Because I knew he lost it at Rez. And I didn't know how... He was a hereditary chief, and somebody told stories about Rez. Didn't grow up here, but they moved back home. And, you know, if I was a non-native, I'd have shot myself. It was so awful, you know, what the white people did. Nobody ever says anything positive about Rez. Watson never said anything. I mean, he said he got beat for this and he got beat for that, but he wasn't resentful. My grandfather was in the first wave. He was born in 1879. So they deliberately picked all the born hereditaries. They deliberately knew that. They took them all there. My grandfather was Gdansta. That was George Young, Jimmy Wilson, Ernie Wilson, Percy Williams, now Googe. So anyway, all of them that went, like George Young, Solomon Wilson, the chief before Watson, George Young, Solomon Wilson, Johnny G, Niece West, the former, even though they got beat, even though some of them lost their language, they still fulfilled what they were born for. And they did it well. And the last thing my dad did as he was dying was sing the Haida love song to my mom.
That was Kithiata Hanu Dikyang, or True Voice, or Christian White, and Gwagunud, or Diane Brown. I think of those words every day. When I'm not motivated, I think of those Haida artists and trailblazers and ancestors. There was no one begging them to do the things they do, nor do they wait around for accolades. A few days after the pole is raised, I stop by Jolin's carving shed, and there they are, working on the next pole, like nothing happened. Makes you kind of want to get to work. So, the recording studio runs. I do need more gear, and that's really the fun part. But even before that, she needs a name. Initially, I wasn't planning on moving home full-time. I thought to look for a translation for Escape Hatch. I always come to Haida Gwaii when times are tough, or I desperately need family time, or I just need to air out from the city. So Escape Hatch seemed like the perfect name. So Escape Hatch loosely translates to Kagane, which is escape house. So when talking to some Haida buds about it, I found out that Kagan also means trachea, which is amazing because I'm here to record voices. And let's face it, House of the Trachea is also hella Game of Thrones and way, way cool. Also, I would be the mom to the House of Trachea. Anyway, I won't go into it too much, but that's for another show. I love the double meaning of Kagane, and there are also so many cool double meaning translations out there in Hodkill. And here are some of the double meaning faves that surfaced from the journey, from my buds, Gwalga Hart and Gwai Edenshaw.
You're saying Diane was talking about love and that, and the word that in Mass it we commonly use for love is also the common word for something that is precious. And so, you know, I think that it's comfortable when we're English is our first language, we'll sort of start in English often in our heads. But I've gotten where, you know, when I hear somebody say that they love you or something like that, I hear like you are precious to me. And I like that, but I think one is the same as the other.
Here's one of my favorite words in Hodkill is tsui, and it means spine or backbone, and it also means melody of a song. There's like coppers with that name in it as well, and it's amazing. Beautiful.
It's just so neato, man.
Tsui.
So it's your backbone.
Yeah, your spine, backbone, the melody of a song.
That makes so much sense.
So Kuyas is love. Dung di Kuyadang loosely translates to I love you. The Kuyadang has the meaning to be precious, and is widely accepted as love today. But that phrase could be translated to you and me, it is precious. I think I like that meaning, because like love is love, but what is love? And I feel like this kind of like breaks it down. It's like when something is precious to you. I don't know, ever since I've heard that, it has deeper meaning. If you say that you love someone, it's like you hold them in that very precious space. Also, highlights from my journey are the endless jokes and laughter. Here is Erica Ryan reading from the Haida Flirty book. Also, to explain, there are a lot of Haida language books going around. Little ones you can stick in your pocket. This one I keep in my pocket, and I take it everywhere. Take it away, Erica.
Kangai Laga, you have a nice bum. Be the grease to my dried fish strips.
That's what that means?
Chilji ganyank tau is. Be the grease to my dried fish strips.
Oh my God.
Chilji ganyank tau is. Dude. Hala dungdi sildada. Let me borrow you.
Whoa!
Damn, hey?
Okay, those are super funny, and maybe I'm gonna learn a few just in case. So, speaking of love, speaking of being flirty, I am gonna premiere my flirty song, Haida Girl, today. This song is actually based on some kind of parental figure's love story. And initially, his boat is called the Haida Girl after, well, I'll just say it. It's about Denise Crosby in Skidigit and Tedesu. They just have this really light levity to their love, and they've both been through so much, and they're just still so in love. And I wrote this song about them. I finished recording it in LA. And as you'll hear on the end, Mike Garson, who is David Bowie's keyboardist, plays on this song and kind of defines their love through song. And anyway, it's super flirty. It's about a really sexy Haida girl. Okay, that was Haida Girl by yours truly, Chrissilian Sinclair. This journey has also created a deep awareness and connection to my Haida ancestors. I'm thinking about epidemics like smallpox and Canada's residential school system, and our culture's resurgence. Canada forcibly removed hundreds of Haida children from their villages on Haida Gwaii during the 20th century. The separation from their families has left a lasting impact on our island's culture, one which we are all trying to rectify. My mom was scooped and didn't even have the smallest chance to learn her language, her songs, or have that connection with family. The phrase, "if you don't speak your language, how are you going to talk to your ancestors?" resonates with me, screams, and brings me strength to be resilient. I mean, it's a hard time in history, man, but it's also kind of a great time to be Haida. The federal government and the Haida Nation signed a historic agreement recently recognizing Indigenous title over Haida Gwaii. This agreement recognizes that the Haida have lived here since time immemorial. We have an inalienable right to use, manage, and enjoy the lands of Haida Gwaii as we see fit. I feel like when the world's on fire, I want to go to Haida Gwaii. Haida Gwaii to me is such like a sovereign nation. It feels like we're our own country. We're our own world. I mean, Hodkill is a language isolate. There is nobody on the planet who speaks the way that we speak. So, not the humble Haida way to say things, but we've kind of always felt this way and kind of acted as we saw fit. So, I don't know. Thanks for catching up. Anyway, it reminds me of a beautiful song by Terry Lynn Williams Davidson. Terry Lynn Williams Davidson is a musician, author, activist, artist, and lawyer. She is well known for her work in Indigenous environmental law and as a recognized keeper of traditions. Born and raised in Haida Gwaii, Terry Lynn has dedicated herself to the continuation of Haida culture. The traditional Haida songs her centurion great-grandmother sang motivated her throughout her life, leading her to help preserve a legacy of Haida music through the Haida Gwaii Singers Society. This is Terry Lynn Williams Davidson, and What a Wonderful World.
Thank you. kann auch am Gandhi und sehr morgen zu gut Spaß.
Was Terry Lynn Williams Davidson, and What a Wonderful World. And what a wonderful world it is, has been, and will continue to be. Huge howas to all my friends here who helped me on this journey and talked to me and shared stories with you. And howa for listening. Next time on Words and Culture, I pass along the talking stick to Tracy Kim Bono, and she will introduce us to the Sahil. I've been your host for the Haida episodes, Chrissy Lane Sinclair, Nanskan Kaju, Dangdi Kuyadang.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
How sin dang king sam?
Maltus.
Ninuis ahaha mi ku kwa kwal.
Kachu nao tano. Wapamatin mi na.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. At doctors' offices, hospitals, and schools, nurses advise patients about their health risks and ways to protect themselves. Nurse practitioner Gina Friel says those conversations should include talking about the health risks caused by climate change, like extreme heat waves, longer allergy seasons, and wildfire smoke.
Nurses are an essential force for protecting those at risk from climate-related health impacts.
But research shows that less than a quarter of nurses feel confident talking to their patients about the changing climate. Friel works with the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education at Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. Her group offers online resources and a free virtual course called Nursing on the Front Lines of the Climate Crisis, Education for Action. It covers topics ranging from the growing threat of vector-borne disease to the mental health impacts of disasters. When it launched last fall, more than 3,000 nurses from six continents signed up.
And almost 70% of the registrants for the course never had any climate and health training.
So the initiative is preparing nurses to help keep their patients safe as the climate warms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Are you curious about the latest news in Canadian politics, labor, environment, feminism, and activism? Tune in to Rabble Radio on CJSF 90.1 FM to hear the latest news and stories that matter to you. Rabble Radio is the flagship podcast of Rabble.ca.